Welcome to Spider-Man and his amazing fans. I'm Bri Guy.
I'm Jason.
Today's episode, The Wedding.
Bri Guy, here we are at the beginning of season number 5 of this show.
Yeah.
And we touched on it last time.
Yeah.
There's really no break here between
no.
the Prowler was the last episode that we saw, and then boom, here's The Wedding. And
yeah.
These episodes aired like in the same month, I think, or close to. It was like
August, September. So
it would be like a weeks apart. Weeks apart.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like a traditional summer break that we're used to with television now. Right.
Right. Right. And but this is we're into the proverbial home stretch. This is episode 53 out of. Mm-hmm. What is there, 65 of these, I think, all together,
yes,
somewhere along
correct.
This line?
You nailed it. Yep.
And, so we're almost there, bud.
We can see the end of the spider web, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, this one, I think, got a lot of, material in a mm-hmm. short period of time. I think mostly a successful kind of thing. Do you want me to tell you what it was about?
Yes, I would love you to tell me and the listeners what it was about. We got a lot to talk about.
There is. There's plenty to talk about, and I'll try to be succinct with this. But so like we said, the wedding is here. Pete and MJ's wedding is here. First thing, Pete goes with Aunt May to a bank where she gets her wedding rings out of the safe deposit box. But uh-oh, mm-hmm. Scorpion shows up and holds up that very bank. And for a minute, Aunt May is captured by Scorpion, but Spidey takes care of him and everything is fine. Kingpin then meets with Peter Parker and says that he wants to bankroll the wedding, but really it's just a publicity stunt for this newspaper that Fisk has purchased, the Daily Beacon. And then when Triple J finds that out, he's really mad at Fisk, and he says to Pete, "I'm going to throw the wedding." And then very, very hilarious arguing ensues mm-hmm. between two extremely wealthy people about who can give him a nicer wedding.
Yep. This is what rich people argue about. Yep.
MJ goes to Ravencroft where Harry is, I guess, been committed at this point. She goes there to tell him about the wedding, and he doesn't take it very well. The Green Goblin reflection comes back almost immediately and helps him bust out of that place. Once he's back at Oscorp, Harry hooks up with Alistair Smythe, of all people, who also now works with Scorpion for some reason. And turns out Alistair has a closet full of killer robots that he's not using, and he says, Green Goblin, you can have these. Then they all glide over to the church together, Green Goblin and the robots, and they just pumpkin bomb the hell out of the place. But fortunately, both Spider-Man and Black Cat are in attendance at the wedding. They get an assist from Kingpin, who basically remote pilots this a robot mech that I guess Alistair forgot to take with him when he left the employ of the Kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the end works out here, but not before a total nut job. Harry tries to force MJ to marry him, and then Liz Allen tearfully admits that she loves Harry. Ultimately, Pete and MJ drive away in the shitty old Daily Bugle delivery van that Triple J generously gave them as a wedding present.
Yeah, you got it.
Those are the high points. Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything that I said occurs in this episode.
And if you look at it that way, it's kind of remarkable that they were able to do this in 21 minutes, right?
Yes, it's a lot.
You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised, and I put this in my notes, that they could have, if they would have done a whole season, like getting ready for the wedding and leading up to the wedding,
sure.
and then the wedding itself.
Sure,
you know?
Sure, yeah.
But nope, 20 minutes.
It's been
what
done in television before. It's
right,
it's absolutely
right.
You know, and there were other series where, boy, just meeting the person that you are going to marry can take 7 seasons of a sitcom. Or was it nine? Was it
nine?
It was nine seasons.
Yep. Yeah. And by the time you meet it, that's such an inconsequential part of the story that you spend about 5 minutes talking about it, as you do when you meet someone, right? He held his kids hostage for 9 years and then said, anyway, I met her and a few years later she died. But my real love of my life is this other person that I've been talking about.
That's its own podcast, everyone.
It is. The Himyum podcast, too. That'll be the sequel to this one, the Himyum.
Oh, yeah. Boy. But so here's the things, man. I loved the cavalcade of guest stars here.
Yes.
I mentioned Scorpion, Alistair Smythe, Kingpin, Green Goblin, of course. We had who am I missing? Yeah, Black Cat came back,
which was huge. I had some more in my notes, but you might have hit them all. But it was a lot, and it, not only was it great they came back, but they also kind of served a purpose, and it also not just like served a purpose within the story, but served a purpose for an audience member that might be watching this for the first time, because there's like a recap of almost every episode. I mean, we get it with Green and Hobgoblin, we get it a little bit with Alistair Smythe, we get it, you know what I mean? They really showed up for a good reason. Expositionally, but also it kept the story moving. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that too. All of the, and I thought, you know, what better time to have everyone that you've come into encounters of in your life than at your own wedding?
Yeah, absolutely.
They all show up, you know.
It's the place to do it. It is the place to do it. It was one of my favorite things about the episode was just seeing, and I think you nailed it where it wasn't just like throwing people on screen and not really having them do anything. Like Liz Allen had something of consequence to do in this episode. You know, like we've only ever seen her pouring coffee at the coffee bean, really, and and one time she took a pizza to Harry's place with Peter,
and then woke up on a park bench.
Yeah, and then woke up on a park bench.
She had something to do in this episode.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
we can get to the ending a little bit later. I felt like it might have been a little bit rushed, but not enough that it detracted from me enjoying this episode. But we can revisit that later. But yeah, it's impressive that they even gave something for her to do.
Well, I mean, we might as well talk about it because it's one of the things. Another one of the things that really worked for me here you know, there were sort of some seeds planted or whatever metaphor you want to use for things that could bear fruit down the line. And I think Liz and Harry's association could be one of those things. I don't know for sure. It was a little bit surprising to have her be the one who was kind of regular. It sounded like she was like regularly visiting Harry and that she brought MJ along on this this day to tell him about the wedding, because they basically had agreed that, well, you don't want Harry to hear about this from
secondhand, right?
Yeah, secondhand. Yeah,
yeah.
Do you think that's the smart move there? From an interpersonal standpoint? No,
yeah. I don't. I think there's not much that you could say to someone who is. I mean, I'm not trying to sound insensitive, Podcast Nation, but he is literally institutionalized.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to tread lightly no matter what. But
it's something that you might want to run past his doctor, right? Like if he's like if he's under the supervision of an MD, you know, like round the clock, might be something you talk to them about first.
He's probably on some sort of watch. Right?
Yeah.
And her whole theory, the therapist's old theory is, you know, basically you didn't get hugged enough as a kid, so you think that everyone's out to get you. Even though every theory that he has
is correct.
Is correct. Right. She's like, nah, daddy didn't love you. That's what it is. Peter Parker's Spider-Man.
But that is also correct, right? Like,
yeah, right. It's true. Yes, exactly.
It's a both-and situation.
Right, right. She's not wrong in her assessment, but she is wrong on him being right about everything.
Right.
Like, he is right about everything. So, yeah, maybe go to that person and say, here's the thing. I'm Mary Jane, right? I'm marrying this guy's best friend. What do you think? Should we go tell him? Do you want to give him this note? Like, there's other ways. Yeah. And I might have gone a little bit on a rant in my notes because I was like, Mary Jane is doing the thing that we see in movies a lot, usually, unfortunately, done by women in movies and maybe in real life. I don't know. But the whole, I want to break your heart, but I still want to be friends kind of thing. Hey, Harry, I'm not marrying you, but I came here to tell you as a friend, I'm marrying your friend, and, you know, don't get uptight about it, man. You should be happy for me. We're friends. Like, she's doing that.
Right, right.
Which is also really good to do with someone who is mentally unstable.
Yeah, just, yeah. No,
what could go wrong, right?
Not a thing, not a thing. The worst that could happen is a light pumpkin bombing.
Exactly. A story to tell your kids about your wedding. That's right. The worst that'll happen.
and yeah, the way that the opposite end of that too was, were you surprised to see Liz be the one that comes through the doors and talks him off that ledge when Harry is standing there at the altar with like under threat of pumpkin bomb? He's got Mary Jane. That was another great scene. There were a number of really good scenes in this episode. That was another one too, where he's doing the total mad villain. I'm going to force you to marry me at gunpoint, right. Basically, you know, that's another kind of I don't know if it's a cliched scene, but it's a scene you've seen before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was well done in this cartoon.
It worked really well. And in the animation, there was a moment where I think the animators were having a little bit of fun where Mary Jane took a step away from him and he literally pulled her back and she came back at Mach 3. Like, she moved back so quickly that there was a blur on the screen. Yeah. Uh-huh. I guess I liked that scene too, but to answer your question, I was not surprised Liz came back, but I thought it was going to be a, Harry, you've forgotten so much about your friends. I've been visiting you the whole time you've been in the institution. I'm your friend. Uh-huh. I was surprised that she said, but I love you, because the last we had heard from Liz about her feeling on Harry was, what can I say? I have a soft spot in my heart for strays. I think that's the exact quote. Not romantic love there is right, what I was right. getting. You know, uh-huh, did that uh-huh. feel like it came out of the proverbial left field for you too?
Well, see, MJ said to her that as they were walking into the place, she was like, I think maybe I'm detecting you've got a little bit something more going on with Harry. And Liz played it cool, right? And she's like, she played it down. And that was when she made that comment, like you said, about the soft spot for strays or whatever. I felt like there she was, I felt there she was like trying to kind of also spare herself and MJ from having the conversation about it. Like, well, this is you know, my friend Mary Jane, but also Harry's ex-girlfriend and the woman he thought he wanted to marry. You know, I'm just friends with him, but I was not shocked. I was not shocked that she was, declared her love. Yeah.
Well, and I think this show does this a lot. We saw it with Blade and the woman he was interested in for a hot second, and they said they were in love with each other.
Right. Terry Lee.
Thank you, Terry Lee.
Yeah.
So maybe they just don't really write progressions of relationships because Mary Jane also told Peter that she loved him before they were an official couple. Maybe that's just a trend here
with the writing. Yeah, it could be.
But it's not a fault. It's just something that I thought was a little bit surprising. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised with how the pacing of the show in general is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking of, things that were good or that worked for us here, the continued descent for Harry. Like I'm here for Harry continuing to be a nut bar Green Goblin. When I'm talking about seeds with these characters, I'm not saying, oh, well, maybe now things will work out for Harry and Liz. I'm thinking more like, maybe he'll pull her down into the madness, you know, there'll be some, I don't know, resistance there or something like that. But I'm here for his insanity, because it's pretty good.
Did you like the way his voice changed throughout the episode? That was a really nice touch, I thought. We saw that with Norman.
Yeah,
to see it with Harry was really good too. So that by the time he becomes the, should we call him the Hobgoblin or the new Green Goblin?
Oh, just the other Green Goblin, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Green Goblin Mach 2. Mm-hmm. By the time he became that, he was completely sounding like the Norman version of Green Goblin.
Yeah.
I really liked that. And it It was a smooth transition. It wasn't one scene you talk normal, the next scene you talk like Green Goblin, you know?
They've been handling this character really well throughout the series, right? Green Goblin version 1 and version 2. I mean, it's
agreed.
Just...
Yeah.
I think I said when we had that season 3 finale, like, I just loved how crazy Norman was, and you could not predict what he was going to do, and... I don't feel like Harry is quite as like maniacal or sort of he doesn't seem to have like the violent streak that Norman did as Green Goblin.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But still like I think he's unpredictable enough where it's a little bit unnerving, and on one hand it almost makes me wish they had like brought Green Goblin into the series earlier. But then I also wonder, maybe they needed the time for Norman Osborn to kind of simmer and have a couple of appearances before the Goblin really came out. I don't know.
And to give Harry a reason to really need vengeance and to really have a reason to break up this wedding. So now, is it clear yet, like, if Norman Osborn is gone, like, he's still communicating with Harry, right? He's not just like... It's not a Gollum situation where he split himself in two, because he's helping Harry, right?
I mean that seemed like questionable when we had that Return of Green Goblin episode recently.
Yeah.
But in this one, he's like Harry is like actively nodding and winking at his reflection for putting him together with Alistair Smythe.
He led him to him. Right.
Right. So it's. But you're right. That's like one of the only things in this one that didn't work for me is like I really don't understand how this communication is happening.
Right.
And part of it is like I think I've said before I would buy just like some sort of weird genetic telepathy, if not for they cut to these images of like Norman looking through the swirling vortex all the time, and through the swirling magic mirror into the real world. Right. Where he's like, Harry, how am I going to get back to you? You know, and I'm like, what? I don't get quite.
Well, and that happened at the end of the episode, right? He was in the corner screaming, Harry, Harry, Harry. So
yeah.
He hasn't perfected the communication yet, you know?
Yeah. It seems like something that, He can sort of project out, but Harry has to be willing to receive.
Right. And in the institution, he was ready to get it. I hope that that's explored. I hope that that is. I don't know if I'm going to ask for a resolution of that, but at least it's shown a little bit more. Because I think now that you mentioned, you know, him and Liz are together, which we're led to believe. I would think that she would try to talk him out of being a supervillain.
Yes.
That really ruins the beginning of a relationship, one would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the middle.
And the end.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Really, the whole thing kind of out the window. But then Norman would probably come back and put a bug in his ear again saying, no, you want to be a supervillain. And I don't foresee Liz Allen just being okay with it or being like a villain sidekick, because she's got no skin in the game. She doesn't have a reason to be mad at Harry at MJ and Peter and Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah.
So I think if they continue to let Green Goblin be Green Goblin, they're going to need to continue to have Norman Osborn somehow involved.
For sure. I'm thinking of, you know, what else links them? They both got gassed with the Gobby gas, right? Because because Norman was working on his formula, and that's how the Goblin first emerged. So when he first started talking to Harry, he had Harry do the gas thing as well to give him like the super Goblin strength or what have you.
The Gobby strength, yeah.
Yeah.
The Gobby goo.
The Gobby goo. You know, yeah, so I don't know. Is he, you know, could he gas anybody else? I don't know. You know, it'll be an interesting thing to see play out. I hope we get to see more of it play out.
Me too.
Because, like I said, really enjoyed that about this episode.
You're right though. You're absolutely right. They've been dealing with the goblins very well. It almost is like the writers, I think, really favor the Goblin character, sometimes even more than Spider-Man. It's, you know what I mean? There have been episodes where he overshadows Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he has an interesting problem, and back to that word again. It's just unpredictable enough to really be engaging on screen. So I like it a lot. Let me see. What else did you really like in this episode?
Well, you mentioned when you were given what this was about, the whole thing with Triple J and Kingpin basically fighting to see like who could be a bigger Bridezilla. Right. Loved it. I could have watched a whole season of that, Jason. I wanted to write down like hashtag rich people problems. Like I want to donate more. No, I want to donate more.
the phone call from Triple J's office was the best part. Kingpin. Yeah, yeah. Where Jonah's like, I know the best. Pastry chef in Queens, and Kingpin says, I know the Queens pastry chef.
And the look on J3's face was like, ah, he got me.
Just that stuff was great.
I can't compete with that.
Uh-huh. Oh man. And the fact that they did it in I also like that they kind of set it up in a believable way because they made it pretty clear that Kingpin is only doing this to sell newspapers. What he's gonna do with a newspaper now, I don't know, other than maybe like PR is the whole goal of him owning a newspaper. Right. But he only did it for that reason, and Jonah is only doing it to stick it to a competing newspaper.
Yeah, I'll show you.
right. And
the Daily Bugle is J3. What is Kingpin's newspaper called? The Daily something.
Daily Beacon.
Okay, so close to a bugle.
Yeah, it really it's startlingly close. I had to listen to it a couple of times to make sure I got that right. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I loved all of that. I loved the going back and forth, and I loved the out being nice to each other, basically. And I also liked that I was like, oh, at the end, J3, maybe he likes Peter Parker now. Maybe he's not so bad on him, and then he gives him the car keys. That's why I thought that, and then it was literally a piece of shit van. Yeah. With a picture of Spider-Man of Menace on the corner, like, don't forget, I effing hate Spider-Man. Have a good honeymoon.
Just terrific. Yes.
Yeah.
Just terrific.
Yeah. Never change, J3. Never change.
Yeah, that was wonderful. I was laughing all the way with that whole thing. You had mentioned in your notes, I thought this episode had a lot of stuff crammed into it. There were a lot of characters that we've mentioned, and a lot of different locations and kinds of backs and forths and stuff like that. One of them that worked for me really well, but that I also had some wishes for different things, was that first scene in the bank. Mm-hmm. Loved the Scorpion bank heist. Did you think which fight in this did you like better? Did you like the finale fight or that opening fight?
I liked the opening fight because then we discovered that Scorpion had a weakness in his suit. Mm. And I liked, like, logically that he was there just at the time where they were bringing out the family jewels out of the safe. Uh-huh. And that he there was a through line because he said, oh, basically I'm robbing banks so I can raise money for my wedding.
Right.
Like, so
right.
That's still on too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have $500 and whatever he got from the bank that day. So they're set. Yeah, I liked that more. You liked this one more too.
I really liked that opening scene, and it seemed like there was there were maybe some different different new action shots of Spider-Man in there too. I can't cite one specifically, okay. But like I really liked I liked the back and forth with Spidey and Scorpion. I liked the Spider-Man getting buried under the rubble in the bank, and that's how he Scorpion first captures Aunt May. Away with the safe deposit boxes. I thought that was cool. But like I said, this is one of those points where at least on the first viewing of the episode, I was like, I wish that the kidnapping of Aunt May would last longer. And that's something where if it was like a two-parter or something like that,
yeah. You
know, they maybe would have stretched that out a little bit. Because I would be in for some mortal danger for Aunt May, you know, in conjunction with this wedding. But it concluded really quickly. And the thing is, the rest of the episode worked well enough and was kind of smooth enough that I had gotten over it by the time they were at the church, you know, but like initially I was like, I wish this was going on longer.
Right.
Yeah.
I just thought of this. Why didn't Scorpion ask Kingpin to help him? Oh no, because he's with Smythe now, not Kingpin.
Yeah.
I was going to say that'd be a good PR move for Kingpin to help Scorpion's wedding too. And then see if J3 can help.
Right.
But never mind. But yeah, I agree. I liked the opening fight that you were mentioning. And as you were mentioning, I was remembering the Aunt May thing. And I always like it when Spider-Man has to rescue Aunt May, but she's there with Peter. Mm-hmm. So Peter has to do a quick change. They did this again at the wedding.
Yep.
But
yep.
I like that Peter had to do a quick change and still Aunt May has no idea. I love whenever that happens.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Where did Peter go? Who knows?
Doesn't matter.
Who knows?
Spider-Man saved me. That's all I know.
I just hate that Spider-Man. Oh, that dirty Spider-Man.
Yeah, she still doesn't like him after all this.
Yeah. I think she told him to stay away from her or something like that.
Don't touch me.
Yes. That is what happened there. Yeah.
I'm about to get abducted by this dude in a suit called Scorpion, but you, sir, keep your 5 feet.
Shooting acid out of his tail.
Right.
Stay away from me.
But you stay away from me, sir.
Oh, God. Yeah. It was a good beginning to that episode. Let's talk a little bit about the sort of, again, not exactly hurried, but just like they left a lot of things here open for speculation in the course of this episode, and a big one is, of course, the return of Felicia Hardy / Black Cat. We first see her when Flash and Deb Whitman are hurrying into the church. Flash wants to get a seat right in front, apparently not knowing how these things work. I guess Pete and MJ don't actually have any family, so they're not going to have anybody sitting in the front.
You won't be sitting by the father or the mother of the bride or groom.
Wouldn't that have been funny too if, you know, because you always have the first couple rows reserved for family, right?
Right.
What if Pete and MJ just had two empty rows right behind them, and then
like so dark with the sign that said reserved for family, and nobody's there. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God. Yeah.
Oh, and who walked her down the aisle? I just thought of this.
Kurt Connors. We'll
come back. He did.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah.
He did
yeah.
Come through.
Yeah. He did. Okay. He
so,
did.
So we also, in a way, got Lizard in this episode.
Too. Yes. Yes. Yeah. In a way.
Yeah. But anyway, Black Cat. Sorry.
But yeah, Felicia. You know. Flags Flash down, and it's, you know, it's funny too that Felicia is like, she's still like Felicia when she's Felicia, but when she's Black Cat, she's like, she's a badass.
Very confident.
even when she was coming up to Flash, she was like, oh, Flash, it's so good to see you, like, you know, kind of sticking it to Deb a little bit, even though it doesn't seem like she's, you know, she's like, she's not into Flash,
she's moved
just
on.
Yeah, she's just being
a mean girl.
She's just being a mean girl. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Do you buy her whole story of watching her mother's business in Europe?
Oh no, of course not. I mean, she was in Europe with Morbius, but that's still, you know, obviously that's a secret identity alibi.
Yeah.
And
right.
I mean, I hope we'll find out more about that, but it was great seeing her come back. And were you surprised that she was at the wedding?
A little bit.
I
thought if she did show up, it would be more of to raise a stink, to say, you know, she knew something about Spider-Man, or Spider-Man was there and there'd be a fight and that would stop Peter Parker from marrying Mary Jane. I thought there'd be a real conflict. And
gotcha,
I guess
gotcha.
There kind of was, right? Because at the end, wasn't it kind of revealed that she was working with Kingpin?
No.
What did I? Okay.
He said it was when Kingpin's mech's head got kicked off, and so as he was just blinking on the video screen, he said that it was nice to work with her, and if she ever wanted a job, he'd have something for her, and she basically told him to stuff it,
And so when he said work with you, that meant like that saving the wedding.
Right. He was alluding to the fact that he was involved with creating the Black Cat. So remember, Kingpin knows her true identity and knows, and she was like stealing stuff for him to sort of prove out the super soldier thing.
Right. And her dad and all that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought that she was somehow behind some bad stuff that went down at the wedding, but then I was like, no, that was all Green Goblin's thing. So you were happy that Black Cat showed up. Is that how you expected her to be in this episode?
I guess not necessarily. But I was glad that she was back, and I think a big part of it is that because it's sort of the beginning of this final 13 episodes, like people just showing up out of the blue doesn't bother me at all in this one. Oh, she's back. Oh, great. Well, that means she'll be in town and we'll see her again,
Yeah.
This episode felt like the beginning of some other stuff to happen and not the end of it. I'm hopeful there. But the way she came back wasn't that surprising to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was happy to see her too. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we talk about this wedding? The wedding itself?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because here's my, and I put this in my notes, and this is wild. I'm going out on a limb here, but I want to get your thoughts on this, Jason, because let's be honest, who else am I talking to about this except you?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you think if before the wedding, MJ, Peter Parker as Peter Parker, sit down with both aunts and say, you're the closest thing we have to family. You're really all we've got. Uh-huh. We know that you hate Spider-Man, but, and they reveal. They reveal that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. What do you think? How would that? You're a writer. How would that paint the writers into a corner at that point? Would that just be sabotage, or do you think it would be a good thing?
I do not think it would be a good thing.
Okay.
Because you've really betrayed every rationale Peter has ever come up with for not telling people by doing that. Protect the people you care about. Aunt May hates Spider-Man, and it would devastate her to find out the truth. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trust Aunt Anna as far as I could, kick her across a room. that seems like a can of worms. Tell me why you would like to see that.
Because I feel like their family, and now this is, mm-hmm. a forever union. Mm-hmm. And also mm-hmm. it would have made that fight at the wedding and the whole battle at the end there that we got maybe have a little bit more punch, because then Aunt May and maybe Anna Watson are going, that's our Peter up there. Be careful, honey. Like it would have been a little bit more stakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought like, if you're going to tell your family you're a superhero, you do it when you marry someone, right? That's just the time to do it. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. No, I guess so.
But I feel like Aunt May can never know, right? Mm-hmm. Aunt May can, like, in every iteration, and maybe in the new Tom Holland one, she knows. Spoilers, she didn't live very long to really do anything with that knowledge. But, like, in every comic book, in every movie, Aunt May never knows. So I guess maybe that's just part of the lore?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough one. I think letting other people in on it. So the thing about the secret, right? And, particularly between like him and MJ is, okay, they both know the secret. And what that does is it kind of draws them closer together. because mm-hmm. they've got this really important thing that only the two of them know.
Yep.
And so that just kind of strengthens their bond.
Yep.
And if you start bringing in more people on this, now you've kind of got instead of just like having, you know, your wife that you talk to about, well, you know, I'm going out to, you know, bust bad guys tonight or whatever. I gotta go throw Scorpion off of a building or something, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Now you've got to like have like a board meeting every time you're gonna do Spider-Man stuff. You know.
Good call.
And you don't want to get into that. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You know. And
I was thinking the circle of trust from Meet the Parents a little bit. Like you bring them into your circle because they're your family.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
do you think if either sets of parents were alive, they would know the secret?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Probably not. Yeah, I mean, you might have talked me out of it, but I just thought, hey, it might be just kind of an interesting
mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like I shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm happy that somebody knows.
Oh yeah,
his
yeah.
secret identity, because they've been dangling that carrot in front of us from like episode one of season one.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
someone's gonna unmask him, and now we finally got that. So let's just ride out that fun while we have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention about the wedding is. A very nice wedding, and you put in your notes too, somewhere in Long Island, you know, it looked very rustic for Long Island, like looked a little bit more like Martha's Vineyard, maybe.
Sure, like, sure, maybe, yeah.
We thought in the last week's episode, and when they were doing their planning and, you know, about 15 minutes of screen time, we thought it would just be like a courthouse wedding, right?
Uh-huh,
like no frills at all, because they're poor, they're living
yeah,
in a,
yeah.
Now they have a terrible van they could live in, but they also have that terrible apartment. So we didn't think those two crazy kids.
They're not going to be able to afford to park that thing.
Right. In Long Island? Are you going to ask for more rent money every month to park it somewhere? But now they got like an extravagant wedding, like not a modest wedding.
No, no.
An extravagant wedding. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all because two rich guys were playing a pissing contest.
Right.
I mean, it worked just out for terrific. Them, but it was just kind of funny.
Yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. No, it was hilarious. It was absolutely very funny. And the one of the other things that I thought was just super funny about it, you know, because they're in the middle of the ceremony when Harry busts through the glass on his glider and starts blowing stuff up.
Yep.
And everybody scrambles for the exits, and there's, you know, there's robots fighting out on the lawn, and just there's the kingpin mech, you know, like ripping limbs off of things, and I think Spider-Man took some statues off of the roof and like smashed them on robot heads, and it's all kinds of craziness happening at this church, right? It's like it's been blown to hell.
It's mass hysteria. Yeah.
And at the end, MJ's like, nah, let's still get married. And then they cut back to the ceremony. Everybody's back in their seats.
Yeah, exactly. Like nothing happened. Yeah. Yeah. Like, anyway, where were we? Yeah.
Right. Right. Like no crumbling girders or no fire department. Right. No, nothing. It's nothing. Just like, it's just a wedding. It's just a very exciting wedding.
Maybe pick this up tomorrow. No, nothing. Nope, and the priest right is now. Like, His biggest concern is he didn't get to say one of the lines because he knows that they'll be together for better or for worse after everything else that happened.
Right, right. It's like, well, we've already seen the for worse. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 minutes ago, he passed out, but now he's like, no, it's fine. I got a job to do. I got to finish this wedding.
That was my favorite part of the wedding, Brian. That was what I really enjoyed about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been great to be at that wedding, wouldn't it?
Oh,
one of
God.
The more exciting weddings I've ever been to, I bet.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Easily. Yeah. Easily. Yeah. It was a heck of a show. Just from start to finish.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I really did.
I've started to make this list of things that I wish in the episodes, and I already mentioned like a longer Aunt May in danger thing. I also it's a little tug in cheek, but Brian, if only they had found a way to get Otto Octavius to this wedding, right?
I was thinking of that. Why wasn't he there? Yeah, I know,
right?
I know.
He's the only guy who was missing.
Yeah, you would have had the whole gang together.
Yep.
I know.
Boy.
I know.
But I mean, overall, man, I the This was a very special episode, right? The wedding episode of a series is always a very special episode.
Always, yes.
Mm-hmm. I think it was close to perfect. I'm a sucker for the matrimony. 4.5 yeah. Radioactive spiders. It was same. Quite enjoyable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like you said, I'm a sucker for a wedding and a nice wedding, and I'm really rooting for these crazy kids and their bad van. I gave it 4.5 radioactive spiders as well, and I put in the notes, and they lived happily ever after.
Question mark? Uh-huh,
right, because we still got the whole Green Goblin thing to handle. So there were things that I wished, but more in the long term, and I think we're mm-hmm. going to talk about that. Like, what do we wish to see for the following 11 or 10 episodes we have left now?
So if you, so we'll try to, we'll see if we can keep it to this level and where we're at. But if you could pick three things that ooh. You want to see wrapped up. Now we're talking about things that might be hanging from any point in the series that you feel is, that you feel are unfinished or need more fleshing out. Mm-hmm. So tell me, Brian, what's the first thing you want to see wrapped up in the course of this series?
I want to know what the heck happened to Mary Jane Watson last season. Where was mm-hmm. she? What was mm-hmm. happening to her? Mm-hmm. How did she just come back? Does she remember anything? Why did she get haunted and we didn't really see any evidence of being haunted
other
than the title?
That
is first and foremost what I want to see. And I was hoping that we'd get a flashback or something weird happening during the wedding where everything came back to her and she had a meltdown mm-hmm, for a reason mm-hmm. she couldn't go to the altar.
Okay, so, okay. Yeah. So you were kind of hoping leading into this that it was a wedding in title only. You thought it would be like a disaster wedding and that we'd have to come back for more matrimony later. Is that what you were?
No, I thought that at the end they would get together and the wedding would happen. I just thought like instead of there being a battle, there would be a cold feet moment for Mary Jane, but she'd be talked into walking down the altar.
Gotcha.
Kirk Connors would say, "I'm your father for the day. Come with me, young lady." But do you want to see that too?
I do. I mean, I would love to see that. I'll be honest with you. At this point, I've kind of given up. Like, I feel like that's something that if they were going to tell us, they should have told us by now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I don't want to see it. It's just that I don't think that they will.
you really don't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I really hope I'm wrong. But who knows? Who knows? What is your number two thing that you really want to have wrapped up?
More black cat.
More black cat. Black cat. What are the things you want to know?
What she was doing.
You want to see?
I want to see. I mean, not that I need to see Morbius.
Right, right.
I've had enough. You know, I'm full of Count Chocula.
Want some black cat flashback to Europe.
I do, and I also want there to be a conflict with her still having feelings for Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
And how that'll play into the fact that he's married to Mary Jane. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I really like that too.
I really like her character, and her story arc has been some of my favorite moments of this whole series.
Mm-hmm,
her origin story they were pretty much flawless. I think we agreed on that.
So yeah, that was really
good.
Her
character is so well treated, like the Green Goblin is, that I just want more of her, period.
Yep. So. Yep. I could see that. Yeah. I would love that. I would, I had kind of a version of that too. Like what did she and, Morbius, do in Europe? Because obviously we saw Felicia come back. We did not see Michael Morbius at this wedding. And then I also, like, connected to that was thinking, will Black Cat and Spider-Man learn each other's secret identities?
Yes, yes.
Which is another thing that I wanted, that I felt would add to a lot of tension in their extended, you know, or larger lives.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's too late for that now that Peter's married, you know,
because
obviously on a kid's show, they're not going to like have him have marital problems the week after he gets married.
Right. And cheat on his wife.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Right. But
if she knew that Peter Parker was Spider-Man, or mm-hmm. I guess in this case, Spider-Man is Peter Parker, maybe then she'd be like, well, then I'm not going to stand in your way. I understand Peter Parker's in love with Mary Jane.
Yeah.
You know, that could easily be resolved. But
just
more Black Cat content is my wish number two.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And what's your wish number three, Brian?
This is a big one, Jason. I hope you're sitting down,
God.
But
mm-hmm.
you only have yourself to blame because you planted the seed weeks ago.
Okay.
I want them to tell us what happened to Peter Parker's parents.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. they've kind of hinted at it.
Yep.
And maybe
yep.
this is yep. a cheat because I'll throw this in here too, but maybe it's number four. Maybe something with Madame Web is tied into that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But I'd like to see more Madame Web, but not as much as I want to see the
You want to yeah. find out what happened to Peter Parker's parents. I gotcha. I gotcha. They have seeded that in a couple of episodes, haven't they? Where they've just kind of mentioned it a little bit. Yeah. No, and I'll dovetail into that one for you because Madame Web is a big loose end for me mm-hmm. because the way that she left us, she said that there was because Spidey kind of swore her off and cast her aside, but she said there is something really important that I will need you for, and we'll see each other again. Mm-hmm. And I am really wanting to know what that is, and I want to know. And I want to know if that like plays into some sort of epic conclusion, because that feels really epic the way she put that. But
yeah, that can't be some sort of seed they plant and they never water that seed.
Yeah.
Do you think it's more likely that we'll get more Madame Web than figure out what happened to Mary Jane? Whatever happened.
Maybe they're connected. You know, I mean, Madame Web could be involved in all kinds of stuff here, couldn't she? Like.
True.
Yeah. I mean, we were led to believe she was an extremely powerful character. I don't think in that that was season three that she was a part of, right?
Uh huh. Sins of the Fathers.
Yep. Sins of the Fathers. I don't think we saw much other than like scratching the surface of what she could do with the telepathy and teleportation. Like, I think she is much more powerful than that. And I would like to see some of that revealed.
And maybe she's pulling some strings with the Green Goblin stuff too.
You never
like
know.
You said there's mm-hmm. there's these alternate dimensions that even we got with the spot that she might be tied into for all of them. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What else would you like to see though?
Oh, let's see. Okay. So that was my number one. What Madame Web, what is the thing with her? Number two, will Kingpin ever publicly receive his comeuppance? Like, will Wilson Fisk ever be revealed to be the Kingpin? And and you know, will he become an outlaw instead of just a, you know, secret bad guy?
Ah, I like that. You're mm-hmm. thinking like end of Daredevil season one kind of big fight thing where he's put in a paddy wagon and sent to jail?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like that. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some reason for, I mean, because Kingpin too has got like, he's got connections to so many bad guys. He's obviously already alienated Smythe and Norman. Mm-hmm. And Silvermane hates his guts. Triple J doesn't like Wilson Fisk, you know, the sort of philanthropist persona. There's a lot of people who could want to get Kingpin.
Yeah.
And so will that happen? That's my big number two.
And even villains are turning against him. Mm-hmm. Smythe and mm-hmm. Green Goblin were going rogue against Kingpin. So there's a lot of good material there too. Okay. I'm here for that. Yeah.
I have a number three, that is a serious one. And then I have kind of an epilogue, tongue in cheek one. So first, how is Norman going to escape from, I wrote in my notes, the TDA dimension, the time dilation accelerator how we got there. Right.
About the TDAs. Yes.
So how is Norman finally going to get out of there? Cause I can't believe we're going to go the rest of this season and he's only going to be looking through the magic mirror, the crystal ball.
Right. Just screaming Harry's name.
Yeah. I want to see him feet on the ground back in the real world. And how mm-hmm. is that going to happen? That's my that's my big number three.
Too. Yep. Yep. And I think that's pretty likely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, Brian, I think both of us just kind of casually wonder this, and we don't want to face the reality of the question because we might know the answer, but does the neogenic nightmare ever really end?
You may be done with the neogenic nightmare, but the neogenic nightmare is not done with you.
Yeah. Is it like a Nightmare on Elm Street? Is it like an 8 or 9 parter? You know.
Do you think you want to see more mutations then?
No, I don't. I don't want to hear it. I don't want any of that. I'm afraid that neogenics are going to factor in before this is all over too, and I'm just going to have to roll my eyes about that because I've had
Wherever we see a Dr. Connors, neogenics are just coming knocking on the door.
Close behind, yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. Oh, boy. But yeah, well, 12 episodes to go, bud.
Crazy. I don't know why. I have no reason to be overly optimistic, to quote The Who, but I'm really excited to watch the rest of this series. I'm excited to see if they wrap this up in a nice bow. From all intents and purposes and for all things that I've read, it was not canceled. I'm curious to see if they actually have like a good send off here.
It'll be interesting to see. So, yeah. it's all coming. Like we say, 12 to go. We'll be here for it, and hope you are as well.
Can't wait. Thanks for listening to Spider-Man and His Amazing Fans. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite app.
Follow us on Instagram at Spidey's Amazing Fans.
And reach us by email, SpideyFansPodcast@gmail.com.
Our cover art was created by Rob Momartz. Follow him on Instagram to see his latest work. We know you've got a lot of choices in animated Spider-Man podcasts, so thanks for spending this time with us.
Most importantly, if you enjoyed it, share with a friend.